90s, baby, and my memory goes all the way back to there. People used to drive around in them. They were beginning to edge off their popularity as my memory came into play. But in the 90s, there was still a bunch of them running around. They were everywhere, still.
I got stuck one morning in a tractor trailer, and it was loaded, and I spun out, you know, I lost traction, and this little guy had a Subaru Brat, and I had a tow strap in the trunk, and I asked him, I said, would you hook to the front of my truck and help me get up top of this hill? And he said, my little old truck won't pull yours. I said, yeah, it will. I said, I don't need much, just a little bit. And I said, if I can get rolling again, just put a little tension on it. And I said, my truck will pull it on over the hill. So he got in his truck, and we hooked it up. Sure enough, he got me over the top of the hill, and I reached in my pocketbook, and I gave him a few dollars and told him, I said, thank you much. He said, you don't owe me nothing. I said, no, I don't, but I want to give it to you. You know, you took your time and gas and wear and tear on your little car and everything else. He looked at me and he said, you reckon anybody else would pay me to pull them over the hill? I said, yeah. He called his boss and took the day off and sat there on top of that hill waiting on trucks to get stuck.
There you go. Yep. That's what I should have done. This is a AAA Cooper that got stuck. But they refused to give me anything. They wouldn't give me a penny. The big boss man from the terminal over there in Hendersonville was on the yard when I pulled that truck back in. And he was waiting on the driver to show back up. That truck had bald tires, so it really didn't take that much to get it going. He's like, well, I need you to go back out with this other run here now that you're done with that one. That driver looked at his boss and said, man, are you crazy? I'm going home to my wife and kids while I'm still alive to talk about it. And the boss man said, well, I'll get you another truck. Look, I've got better tires. I'll just, here, swap out with this road tractor here. We'll just get you rolling with this one. That guy said, no, you've got to be kidding me. He got in his vehicle. He said, I'll be back tomorrow. The roads will be better then. They'll plow and everything. I'm going home to my family. But his boss is over there trying to get him to go back out after we done drug his truck into the yard.
The DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KJ4WZM. Mr. Daniel up there in Traveler's Rest. Well, you know, they don't think about that too much. But that's the way it goes. I've had my boss tell me that he wanted me to do something, and I refused one time, and he wanted me to go to Atlanta, and I told him I drove the same truck every day, and I drove the I drove the same truck every day, and I rode it up every day for the clutch, and told him the clutch was coming out of it, and they wanted me to go to Atlanta. I told him I ain't gonna do it. Not in that truck. And then he said, well, I'll give you another truck. He gave me another truck, and I went to Atlanta, and I came back, and my truck was in the shop. And I went out to the shop, and I asked the guys in the shop, I said, what are you doing to my truck? And they said, we're putting a clutch in it. I said, oh, you finally getting around to my write-up? And he said, no. He said, I drove it up the road, and he said, I got a half a mile from the shop, and stopped at a traffic light, started off again, and he said the clutch came into 1,000 pieces. And he said, I had to have it towed back to the shop. And I said, you've been telling me I've been driving it for a week, and you drove it a half a mile, tore it up. And he said, I don't blame you for not driving it to Atlanta. I said, well, you'll listen to me next time, won't you? And he just laughed.
Funny right there. Yep. That's how it is, too. Sometimes people just don't listen. KJ4WZM. that's a good one, though. I'll have to get you a picture. I've got one around here somewhere of this little setup that I pulled in here. Man, I can't even remember what year that was. I bet it was December 2018 or 2019 or something. I don't know. I'm looking. It was in December. I know that much. Yeah, it was December... There we go. I found it. You're getting another picture. December 9, 2018.
Not here yet, but I'll see it in a minute. I'm gonna shoot you a one at where I got the car fixed. That's Daniel sitting here talking on the radio and sending pictures via telephone RF.
Me and yeah, I know them people over there. They've done a lot of work for a lot of the places that I've worked before. I know them.
That's who did mine, and they did a really, really good job. Those first pictures, there's a lot of frost out this morning over there where you were working. It doesn't look quite like the snow that you in the second picture, but the ground's almost white, isn't it?
When frost melted off, it really looked like it had snowed that morning. I tell you what, I was something else. We had a heavy, heavy frost, which I knew that was coming a long ways out. That Explorer I pulled that truck with, it actually had a bad engine when I pulled it, and a transmission that was on its way out. Since then, I rebuilt the engine, put it back in, had sent the transmission off to get rebuilt. Then I put a lift kit on the truck, and I used to have a sound system in it. Well, I stopped using the sound system and removed everything, but the amp still had power hooked up to it. I never disconnected it. The insulation ended up getting chafed off the 2-gauge wire by the passenger side seatbelt bracket over time. When I had gone to install the amp, I had accidentally touched the power wire to ground while I was working on installing the amp, and it blew the 100-amp fuse that was in there by the battery. Well, I just threw a wire through there to bypass the fuse to just make sure that my amp works properly. Never replaced that wire piece with the actual fuse, so I just kept the wire in there. I'm going to release the mic. Some time went by, period of about 5 or 6 years. Nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary until I started having this problem where I went through 2 or 3 batteries, because the vehicle was draining itself overnight. And every morning I'd wake up to a dead battery. And I had a number of batteries destroyed from that issue. They just wouldn't charge up anymore. So I went through about 2 or 3 batteries in the course of a year or two, maybe 18-month period. About every 3 months I had to replace the battery. I was like, this ain't no good. Well, one day, I guess this is the end of March this year, we had a bunch of tornado warnings, and I looked outside and seen a whole bunch of smoke going past my window. I went outside to see what all the smoke was about, because everybody else nearby was out of state at the time, and no one was having a fire. Well, the only fire that was going on was my vehicle. The inside of it was just about fully engulfed in flames.
If that's the one you showed me up there that caught on fire then, right?
And about 7 or 8 pictures of what it looks like now.
If you want to, that ain't no big deal. That's KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KJ4WZM, Mr. Daniel, up there in Traveler's Rest. But you going to be doing a lot of storm chasing in it since you got it fixed up?
More snow right now than storms. It's going to be another 6 months before tornadoes come back around, except for the odd ones that like to show up in January in the low-level jet when we have warm weather suddenly come in the middle of the night. That's always weird, and it seems to happen about once a year in January for some reason. Done it a bunch. But those aren't the ones I like to play with either. Those are normally EF0s. But spring will be the next time I storm chase with it, but I'm hoping to go play in the snow with this thing.
Careful, you don't want to do all that work and take it out there and play with it in the snow and mess it up when you run off the road into a tree or a ditch or something.
I've never run off the road yet. I've been playing in the snow every time it snowed for the past 10 years. So far, I haven't gotten ditched yet. I need to find a piece of wood to knock on, though, because those aren't good odds. I know it's inevitable.
I can understand that. I was driving I don't remember where I was, but it had been snowing and the roads were slick and getting a little black ice on them and that sort of thing, and this little four-wheel drive pickup truck come flying by me, and I'm driving slower than the speed limit, and he's running at least the speed limit, or if not more. And I went on up the road about 3 miles, and there he was sitting in the median, and he was standing outside his vehicle looking at it like, you wasn't supposed to do that. You got four-wheel drive. I just tooted him out my horn and went on by him. And I don't know if he got out or not.
When it's snowing like that, under most circumstances, the fastest speeds that I tend to achieve is about 20 to 25 miles an hour. In general, I rarely exceed 25 when it's snowing like that. I'll normally maintain my speed somewhere between 15 to 20. And even at that speed, if something happens and you end up in the ditch in a vehicle like I drive, you're not going to end up totaled. You might go home with a bent fender or, worst case scenario, busted out glass somewhere. But it's not going to be totaled. It'll be fixable.
Hang on a minute, Daniel. Let me get that check in. Check in, go ahead.
I'm wondering if I had to use my four-wheel drive just to get in here and check in. But anyway, ha-ha. Check in November 4, Delta Mike Echo, N4DME Paul, and AA4QAS Donald. We're both in the cold tonight, where it was cold last night, and it's cold again tonight, so I guess we're over here burning that gold out of the furnace. But anyway, I've been sitting here listening to y'all talk, and I think we all got our four-wheel drive stories. I've got quite a few myself, but anyway, appreciate you calling the net there, Gary, and hope you and the family is having a good one.
DOS and Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to N4DME. That's Mr. Paul and his dad, Donald, AA4QS, down there in Toccoa, Georgia. Appreciate y'all being with us tonight, Paul. Tell Donald we said hello. Y'all stay warm and burn everything but your radios and your coax and your antennas. Don't burn them. You might want to talk on the radio a little bit later. Y'all stay warm and take care, Paul. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us tonight. Additional stations all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Museum, back to you there, Daniel.
KJ4WZM. Yeah, it looks a bit different now, don't it? I don't know if I ever showed you the burnt pictures.
You told me the burnt pictures. I saw them in person. But yeah, it does look a whole lot different. That you've done a good job. You do all that yourself?
Every little bit of it.
Tell me the truth. I know Thomas helped you. Fleet.
Buddy. Nobody at all. I did all that.
Good job. It really looks good there, buddy.
A long time working on all that. First, I had to gut the old interior. Then, once everything was gone, I washed it all, trying to get the stink out of it. And after I washed it and washed it and washed it and washed it and washed it again and again and again, finally it no longer stank. And I pulled the interior out of my parts one, and I washed all that stuff up, and then I put it in there. And I spent an entire 3-day weekend reinstalling everything.
That's at least a 3-day job. I don't want to have to work that hard myself.
Then I got basically a duplicate one of that one. I have a tan one that's 2-wheel drive, and that one has the bad door pin, and I need to get that fixed. And I really don't feel like fooling with that. I'm telling myself that after all the work that I did to that other one, if I want to send it off for somebody else to work on a door pin, then I feel kind of justified in that, because it's not like I'm lazy. I just don't want to do that specific project.
That there, young man. One question for you. Did you order a new headliner, or did you take that one out and redo it?
Out of my parts vehicle, my 1993 parts vehicle. And both vehicles had a sunroof in it, so it worked out perfectly. But that is a 30-year-old headliner there that I put in there that looks like that stock original, never been touched.
Looks nice, Daniel. Really does. I'm glad you had a parts vehicle there that you could use. Of course, you had to pay for it, too, but I know how that goes. But it, you know, if you'd had to buy all those parts individually, you might as well have bought you a new vehicle, right?
Okay. Plus, when I first bought the vehicle I'm driving now, none of the windows worked. All the windows worked on the parts vehicle, but I've replaced window motors and regulators before, and I swore to myself I'd never do it again if I didn't have to. That vehicle that was my parts vehicle was white and tan, the exact same color scheme as the one that burned. I pulled all four doors off of the parts vehicle, disconnected them, and unbolted them and put them back on mine, the one that burned. So now I have, it looks like exactly the same vehicle, but it's got all new doors on it, and all the windows work properly. So that's nice. It's also, the old headliner was completely destroyed. The front seats were all ripped to shreds. The carpet and the other one before it burned, somebody had dumped an entire 5 quarts of oil all through the back. They had, I don't know, was just placed the oil in there and it overturned and the carpet was ruined. It looked disgusting. But I've got all the oil, the interior out of the other parts vehicle and put it in there and it looks great. And I did spend a whole day of nothing but scrubbing, and then 2 days reinstalling everything. But it's been an adventure that turned out well. And then I made, when I was going through all my bins of tools and things, I made myself a little cute little snatch block toy to go with my winch. I made that out of stuff that I already had in my bin.
KOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KJ4WZM. Well, Daniel, I saw that. That looked like it'll work real well. Yeah, I'm going to have to get you down here and get you to do some detail work for me on the inside.
KJ4WZM. Yeah, I don't mind doing that kind of stuff. I'll detail any vehicle. I really enjoy that kind of work. I'm very, very good at it. I like it. What I did not enjoy was fixing a burned vehicle, but oh well. Hey, at least now I've turned every bolt inside the engine compartment, every bolt underneath the vehicle, and the entire interior. The only stuff that I have never touched on that vehicle, I've actually never removed the front fenders, but I've done that on a Ranger that I had wrecked when I was a teenager, so I already know how to do that. I haven't done the fender bolts on that one. And I haven't been inside the middle of the dash. I have replaced my instrument cluster because a lot of the components on it stopped working at 426,000 miles. It all decided that different parts of it was tired. And most of the gauges stopped working between 424,000 to 426,000 miles. In just a 2,000-mile time period, most of those gauges went out, and I took those out of the 93 and put them in there. The only thing that still worked was the tack. Everything else abruptly stopped working then. So I don't know exactly how many miles is on it now, but it's a little over 430, but it's on all new parts, basically. Just a few things are original on it. Most of it's been replaced.
Deal. I'm glad that you got it all fixed up, and I'm sure you're glad that you got it done before cold weather hit, so you don't have to ride your motorcycle back and forth to work anymore.
Yep, very, very excited about that. That motorcycle is parked and covered, so it's out of the rain and didn't get rained on. I'll get on it when the weather warms up. I had to ride it all last year because my vehicle was getting suspension redone on it. But I'm happy to have this thing ready for it to snow, and super excited. This vehicle is actually now the nicest vehicle I've ever had now that I've redone it. Those front seats came out of a 2013 Eddie Bauer Expedition. They are 13-point power adjustment with heat and air conditioning, and it all works.
Deal. Well, you got a deal on that, no doubt. That is some good-looking interior. It really is. What else you got for us tonight, Daniel?
That's about it, I guess, Gary. Not really a whole lot else going on. happy that the cold weather's finally here, in a way, and kind of sad in another way. I love the snow, but I always dread the change from nice temperatures to cold. Once I get adjusted to the cold, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love wintertime, but it always kicks me in the teeth when it first changes over and it goes below freezing. I'm like, oh, whew, I ain't never going to get used to this. This is tough. Cold, cold, cold. Mm. And then I got used to it, and now I don't want it to leave, and then summer shows back up. And it shows up quick with a big yellow pollen storm.
Yeah, along with the warmer temperatures comes the pollen and everything else, and a lot of bugs and insects and that sort of stuff. But oh well, aren't you glad we're not in charge of the weather?
You think it's bad now, or you don't know what the weather's going to do? I tell you what, if we were in charge of the weather and each person got to pick theirs, we would never be in agreement. One day there'd be a blizzard, the next day there'd be a hot, dry drought, and another day there'd be hurricanes and tornadoes because the storm chasers got their turn. I tell you what, maybe it wouldn't look much different than it does now.
There's two things I tell people, Daniel. Number one, there's always a 100% chance of weather. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's a 100% chance you're going to get weather of some kind, shape, form, or fashion. And the other one is that the only constant in life is change. And if you don't like our weather, wait a few minutes, it'll change.
December and January showed up just now, but they're getting ready to leave, and October will be back in a couple days. It all changes again. Then December and January come back again after that. So, yeah, changes a lot. I actually enjoy it. Forecasting is one of my favorite things to do. I'm watching a trend. I'm watching for a pattern to develop, and I'm watching a trend. I'm trying to get dates on our first snowstorm of the year. I have a suspicion on when that'll be, but I don't have definitive dates yet, and it may actually occur sooner than what I had anticipated due to what I'm watching on the weather maps right now. But I've got a rough idea of about when I think it might snow.
What good a weather guesser is the ones on TV and the ones out there at the weather station?
Well, I can actually, the past several years, I've called snowstorms about 3 weeks out. That's about how far out I'm pretty good at. I gave my boss an 8-day heads up on our big one we had last year and told him he had to get the snowplow running. And man, I tell you what, I got cussed when I first said all that stuff. He's like, man, you're full of it, aren't you? You really are full of it. You're going to make me go to all this effort. He's like, I really don't know whether or not to believe you. I think you're actually telling the truth on this. Like, you seem pretty genuine. I don't think you're pulling my leg. At the same time, I don't know if you're worth your salt or not. We'll see. But if you make me go through all this effort to put the snowplow together, which is a big hassle, if you make me go through all this effort to put the snowplow together and nothing happens, I'm going to be mad, and I'm never going to believe anything you say after that. But he believed me. He told everybody, hey, little man over here thinks that we're going to get a big snowstorm just over a week out. He went and told all his buddies, too. Then he came back to me even madder. He said, I just went out and I made myself look like a fool. I tell you what, if it doesn't happen, I'll be mad. If it does happen, I'll be thankful you gave me a heads up. So we'll see. Am I going to be mad, or am I going to be grateful? And guess what? He was grateful. He couldn't believe it. But yeah, I gave him 8 days' notice on that one.
Lucked out on that one, I really am. I think your boss would be upset with you.
Talking about it, he likes to get mad about things. He's got kind of a temper problem. I've learned to live with it. It's all right. It simmers down after a little while.
You have to let him stew a little bit, right?
Butter. Him being a just about a lifelong truck driver, too. He's been driving for, I don't know, 30, 40 years or more. Him being one of them, too, they've all got their own opinions.
It goes. Hang on a minute. Let me make one more call. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. get anybody out. And if there's somebody out there who wants to check in with us, that's KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, KJ4WZM, Mr. Daniel up there in Traveler's Rest. Daniel, I'm glad your boss didn't get mad at you, and I don't know if I tried that two times in a row, but I'll leave that up to you.
Either. I more or less do it just for myself. With that one, though, it looked like it was going to be big, bad, and ugly. It looked like it was going to be a little bit more than we normally get. That's why I gave him a heads up. I don't normally go out on a limb and share all of my thoughts and opinions like that. But some sort of a system or pattern or whatever you want to call it, something set up. And I went, uh-oh, that's going to be bad, and that's going to be really bad. And it looked realistic and reasonable, and I just didn't see any other way around it. It didn't look possible to avoid the scenario that was setting up. That's why I gave him a heads up, because I was like, man, this ain't going to be good. This isn't going to be just a little snowstorm of, like, 2 or 3 inches like we normally get. This is actually going to be a problem. That's why I gave him a heads up. Yeah, I'd rather not ever have to make it. I'd not like to ever feel obligated to open my mouth like that and say that to somebody. I like to share my little forecast with just a little group of storm chasers that I like to hang out with. We can all talk about weather models and make our own forecasts and all that kind of stuff. I like doing that with them. I don't like to go out there on a limb and make myself, like, risk looking stupid in front of everybody. That's a bit to handle right there. If you end up letting everybody down, then they all stand around and laugh at you. That ain't fun. Especially when you need to be taken seriously over a situation like that one we had last year. But anyways, that's about all over on this end, Gary. I should probably let you go to bed, and I need to get me some shut-eye before I go sit in a seat and be a steering wheel holder tomorrow. My boss reminds me quite frequently that I'm a steering wheel holder. I've only been driving 2.5 years, and he's been driving 40. So, I'll never not be a steering wheel holder to him. KI4DOS, KJ4WZM.
Just keep in the back of your mind that he started at one point in time. When he started, he was just a steering wheel holder, too. So look at what you got forward to in the future. Appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. Enjoyed the conversation. Enjoyed the pictures. I wish the people out there in Radio Land could see the pictures. You know, I wish we had a slow scan on this repair where we could put it out there and people could get the pictures on their computers and things. But we don't have, so maybe that's something we can work on in the future. You take care, Daniel, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it there, young man. 73. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. It's about going to wrap it up this evening, looks like. I'll submit my net report and then closing that out. I've got a grand total of 67 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling to the best of my knowledge. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.